This is Ask President Carter, a CBS News special broadcast. For the next 2 hours on the CBS radio network, all America has the chance to talk directly with President Carter, who will be responding to telephone calls live from the Oval Office of the White House. If you wish to speak directly with the President on Ask President Carter, you should call a single phone number and only that number. It is the same everywhere in the country. The number can be called any time within the period of the broadcast, that is, for the next 2 hours. The toll-free number is 900-242-1611. Again, the number to call to join us during the next 2 hours on Ask President Carter is 900-242-1611, toll-free. We shall repeat the number from time to time during this special broadcast. With the President in the Oval Office of the White House as anchorman of this broadcast is CBS News correspondent Walter Cronkite.
Good day. President Carter and I are in the so-called Oval Office of the White House. We're in a couple of wing-back chairs in front of a coffee table, and in front of the fireplace across from us is the desk at which the President spends much of his day working. Over to our left, the large doors opening out into the beautiful Rose Garden of the White House on a very nice spring-like day here in Washington. This is a unique occasion in the sense that it marks a new approach to communication between the President and the people of the United States. It is indeed historic. Unique, historic, and we must also say an experiment, since a President has never taken part before in this sort of a broadcast. Now here's the way we want it to work. We hope it works. We'll receive phone calls from all over the country. We expect people to ask questions on many, many subjects, of course. There'll be no censorship at all, no pre-screening in that sense. However, you should know that it's not going to be easy, of course, to get through, because there have to be just a limited number of lines coming to us here at the White House. Now, my advice is that if you get a busy signal, you do like you do when you get a busy signal anytime, you just hang up and try again. Now, when you do get through, we'll verify your call by name and hometown, and then I'll introduce you to the President, and you may talk directly with him. Now, please remember that we want to give just as many of you callers as possible an opportunity to ask President Carter your questions. Therefore, I'm going to be just a little bit ruthless here in cutting off any long-winded statements from our callers. We do want to hear from you. The President wants your opinions and so forth, but don't make a speech, will you? In other words, get to your question right away. Ask it just as clearly and directly as possible. And just as in presidential news conferences, you will have an opportunity for a follow-up question if you think that it's necessary. Mr. President, we're very pleased that you've accepted our CBS News invitation and are giving us this time to let the nation ask President Carter.
Thank you, Walt. I'm glad to have a chance to let people have direct access to me. And in the process of answering 50 to 100 questions this afternoon in an unrehearsed way, not knowing what's going to come next, I think the people will learn something, and I know I'll learn a lot about what is of interest to them. Also, I believe that if the tens of thousands of folks who want to get through can't do it, in listening to the other questions that I ask, they're very likely to get an answer to their question. So I'm looking forward to the 2 hours, and whenever you're ready, I am.
All right, Mr. President, we're ready here, and I think that Joseph Wilman of Sterling Heights, Michigan, is ready out there in Sterling Heights with the first question. Go ahead, Mr. Wilman.
First of all, I'd like to say good afternoon, President Carter and Mr. Carter. My question right now is, according to a UPI story in today's story news, Idi Amin has sent squads down to the kill 7,000 Christians. But there's another happening there. Obviously, with good conscience, such a man with such an ego, why is the mark people there? And if the time arises, will we use force to get them out, even though confrontation with this country is expected by Amin?
Well, it's hard to know how to answer that question about future events. As you know, we had what was on the border of a crisis last weekend. The attitude that we took was constantly to monitor what is going on in Uganda, to deal directly with Amin in a very forceful way, to let him know that we were expecting American lives to be protected. We also got the help of several national leaders who are quite close to Amin, primarily those of the Muslim faith, and they contacted him directly. We also got the Federal Republic of Germany, West Germany, who have diplomatic leaders in Uganda, in Entebbe, Uganda, to contact Amin. And he was constantly giving me assurance through cables that the Americans would not be hurt. As you know, the outcome of that weekend's tension was that he eventually said that the meeting with the Americans was called off and that anyone who wanted to leave or come into Uganda from our country would be permitted to do so. I think that it's obvious that we'll do whatever we can to protect American lives throughout the world. We have, in the past, before I became president, informed the American people in Uganda, and I might say in several other countries around the world, that there was a potentially dangerous circumstance for them, and that if they were primarily concerned with a peaceful life, they ought to change countries. We do know that most of the persons who are Americans in Uganda are missionaries, deeply committed to their own religious faith. They've had an option to leave, and they've decided to stay. So I think at this time, I feel that the American lives there will be protected. We did act, I think, forcefully and effectively with Amin. We had a lot of help from other nations, and I can't say what I will do in the future except to try to handle a situation similarly to what I did last weekend.
All right, let's take our next caller. It's Pete Baloney of Denver, Colorado.
Go ahead, Mr. Baloney.
Go ahead, Mr. Baloney.
Good afternoon, Mr. President.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Fine.
Yeah. Mr. President, your proposal of increasing the gasoline tax by 25 cents a gallon, would that put quite a burden on the people of this country who are already financially strapped with higher taxes and fuel bills?
Well, Mr. Baloney, I've never proposed any such thing and don't know where the story originated.
It was in the paper last week.
Well,
in the Rocky Mountain News.
I don't believe it. The story was attributed to me in any way because I've never commented on that at all and have never even insinuated to anyone that I was going to raise the gasoline tax by 25 cents.
Have you heard about it, though?
I had one news question about it and responded the same way I am to you, that I don't know anything about the proposal and have no intention of doing it.
I
might say that on April the 20th, I will, if plans go the way we have them now, make a speech to the joint session of the Congress, probably in the evening, and explain for the first time in our country what a comprehensive energy policy is. We don't have one at this moment, and we've been working on it ever since, even before I became president. So on April the 20th, we will try to spell out an approach to the energy problem that will involve all aspects of it, oil, coal, solar energy, obviously nuclear power, hydroelectric, pricing, mandatory efficiency, conservation, voluntary, and so forth. And this may or may not involve any changes in the price structure, but I certainly have not considered and have no intention of any such increases you've talked about this afternoon.
Yes, sir, Mr. President. And whoever brought out the story, do they know who did it or anything, or how it leaked out or anything?
Well, it didn't leak anywhere from the White House because that's not a decision that's been made in the White House.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Mr. President. It's been an honor.
Thank you, Pete. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, Mr. Baloney. The next question, Mr. President, is from Mark Fendrick of Brooklyn, New York. Mr. Fendrick, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. President. What I'd like to ask is in relationship to the attempts for returning to a normal relationship with Cuba. Now, in the paper the last couple